I wonder how far you traveled to arrive here tonight. I do not mean how many kilometers did you drive or walk or bike or sit on a bus to get to this worship service. I mean where and how far and through what and with whom have you traveled to arrive at this moment, this time in your life? Through how many valleys devoid of light, over how many peaks that drew you near the brilliant sunshine, around how many hairpin turns, down how many paths whose destinations were veiled in thick fog. Everyone in this story is on a journey. Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the shepherds, the angels, and of course, later is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the mysterious Magi from the East. Through rough terrain, with little support or protection, not sure of what they will encounter when they arrive, and in some cases, not sure even of where they are going, they voyage on, led by hope, led by courage, led by a star. Their voyage is not only physical, but spiritual, and in the process, they are utterly transformed. God is forever sending people on journeys they seem woefully unprepared to take. We all know, even those of us who are not sure about all this God talk or don't know quite how we've found ourselves in church of all places, we all know the experience of being called to undertake a journey, a voyage, a pilgrimage. We've heard that still small voice of love that whispers into our heart. We've felt that holy longing awaken in our bones. While most of us are not visited by choirs of angels, we all receive the summons to journey forth. The moment, that moment when you first held your baby in your arms or had your foster child in your home or met the child you would unexpectedly become a parent to. That moment after you buried a spouse or a parent or a child, after the funeral and the busy activity of practical details when you sat down long enough to feel the pain. That moment when someone's words or touch or gaze or look or touch went into your heart and you knew you would never, ever be the same. Or that moment when a gift you did not know you had was revealed. When you sang or danced or wrote poetry or lent a listening ear and an open heart to a friend or tended someone sick or worked the knitting needles or put paint to canvas. Relationships send us on journeys because they bring us out of the confines of our existing knowledge and assumptions and in the best cases invite us to see ourselves more as God sees us. And our gifts send us on journeys because gifts come from beyond, and they carry us past where our rational minds will allow us to venture. In the strange and yet ordinary story that brings us all here tonight, it is oddly enough God, the Holy One, or whatever name we give the one love that transcends us all, who travels the furthest. For God travels through space and across eons, moving from the limitlessness into the confines of human flesh. It is a voyage that is inspired by a deep and abiding love, a love that we glimpse and yet forever remains a mystery to us. However far we travel and are seeking God or love or beauty or meaning, it never is as far as God travels to reach us. Of course, traveling, whether it is across cities and continents or into the depths of our own hearts or out of isolation, is frightening. It is for good reason that angelic messengers are forever shouting, "Do not be afraid." Of course, because they know we should be. They always say this before sending someone on an unexpected journey. We live in a world that is obsessed with security. What is striking about the story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the shepherds is that their lives are lived with almost no security at all. The shepherds sleep in the fields, exposed to the raw elements of nature. Mary and Joseph, like so many in this world, are under the thumb of an empire that neither knows their names nor cares. An empire that controls with violence and deprivation. When we feel fearful, when we feel out of control, we tend to want to put on armor to cover our vulnerability. We want to distance ourselves from others, build the walls higher, install more checkpoints, develop more deadly weapons, and enlarge the army. But Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the shepherds and even the angelic messengers remind us of the truth. There is no real security in this world. To be human is to be vulnerable. And when we try to overcome or ignore our vulnerability, when we try to make a preemptive strike before our vulnerability can be touched, we easily lose our humanity in the process. And yet, we spend so much time attempting to escape our vulnerability. Nearly all advertisements ultimately sell us the lie that whatever product they're proffering can make us less vulnerable and more in control. If we spend all our time seeking control, seeking security, and attempting to rid ourselves of our human vulnerability, we will keep very busy, but we won't journey very far. We won't discover the complex depth of our own humanity, nor will we draw near to anyone else's. To really enter this story about Mary and Joseph and their baby Jesus, to become kin to the shepherds who watched their flocks by night, who were set on a new path by receiving and believing a message of hope, to follow in the footsteps of all of these who turned their faces to see the glory of God's love shining into the world, we must travel beyond security and control. The truth is, this is a love story. It's a love story between God and us. The importance of this night is not about virgin births or the historical particularities of the Roman census or what star the shepherds might have seen. If these are the details on which we focus or which become impediments to allowing the blessing of this night into our hearts, then I fear we are missing the point. The story we have gathered together to hear once again is not about a God who comes into the world as a mighty warrior or the richest and most powerful king. Instead, it is a God who comes into the world completely vulnerable, an infant, one needing and wanting love. An infant so poor he's born in a barn. An infant who, after only a short while, becomes a refugee as his parents flee the rage of King Herod, who would never deign to believe in a God who would choose vulnerability over military might. In the poem The Creation, James Weldon Johnson retells the story of creation that is found in the book of Genesis. In it, after God creates the night and the day, the earth and all the creatures therein, God looks upon this wondrous creation and thinks, "I'm still lonely." And so God creates humankind in God's own image. But this is only the beginning of the love story. For even molding humankind from the muddy earth and breathing breath into the first human being is not enough to satisfy God's longing to know and love us. And so God becomes human, enters into human flesh to love as one of us. So perhaps we should not be so afraid of our desperate need for love. Because if we are made in God's image, then of course this drive toward love is at our very center. John Bowen, a UU minister who served from the 1940s into the 1960s, wrote this: "What is asked of us in our time is that we break open our blocked caves and find each other. Nothing less will heal the anguished spirit, nor release the heart to act in love." Our difficulty to move beyond the impasses in our own lives and in our world is that we think we can solve our problems without allowing our blocked caves to be opened. We think we can do this without this vulnerable, flimsy thing that we call love. Perhaps we've even convinced ourselves that a God who would come into the vulnerability and neediness of an infant child is no God we want to have anything to do with. But there is some part of us, even if it's sometimes a rather small part, that longs to trust in this message of God's love. Emmanuel, God with us. And the more we trust God's love for us, the more we trust God's deep longing to walk with us, the more we give ourselves to the love of others. The more we trust God's love for us, the more we let go our need for security and control and give ourselves to the work of unfolding justice and peace in our world. The more we trust God's love for us, the more we find those things for which we so deeply long. Those realities that seem so elusive. Joy, peace, love. The more deeply we take in the truth of God's deep and abiding love for us, the more we become free from the fears, the resentments, and the regrets that weigh us down and cause us to build up our armor of cynicism and prejudice and hate. So I speak now to that ache of longing deep within you, deep within your heart. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God's desire to love you is greater than you could ever imagine. God's mercy is wide enough to embrace all that you are and all that you have done or left undone. In this Christmas time, amidst the busyness and the cheerfulness, the stress and the anxiety, the family complexities, the mix of joy and sorrow, may you have a few blessed moments to be in awe of the journey into love you have trod thus far. And may you hear God calling you to continue on following the star, to go and see what has come to pass. This breaking into the world of holy love. And may you heed the advice of the angels. Rejoice and be glad. Amen.